science in botany while at Tuskegee, because the man who chaired the department was a botanist with a degree from Iowa State. And I had become fascinated with the names of plants and old descriptions of plants, that sort of thing. And I was already interested in learning more about plants of Hawaii while there working on the drafting table. And I decided, well, maybe what I should do is go out to the university, see if they have some classes in botany in the evening that I can go and take a course in botany and begin to learn more about native Hawaiian plants. And that's what I did. The time came for me to qualify to be discharged from the Navy because the war was over. And they asked practically all the other draftsmen had left the office. So they asked me if I'd be willing to stay on for a period of time, and that if I'd be willing to accept the civilian position as a draftsman, doing the same thing, but as a civilian, if I took my discharge in Hawaii. So that's what I elected to do. I elected to take my discharge in Hawaii at Pearl Harbor, come back and be an architectural draftsman for the Navy, and then begin to take courses in botany at the University of Hawaii. I did that for about 2 years, and then said, well, now I'm a part-time graduate student here, but I want to go back to the mainland and become a full-time graduate student to earn graduate degrees. I had decided that it would be in botany, in plant biology. So I left Hawaii, had been admitted to graduate study at the University of Rhode Island, and I went there to work on a master's degree. And while there, the man that I worked under, Frank Howard, he was my main mentor. The other mentor was Vernon Cheadle, who chaired the Department of Botany and was the dean of the graduate school. But when I first talked with Dr. Howard, Frank Howard, he said, well, now, I have to be quite frank with you, because I welcome your coming to the department. I welcome your work under me as a graduate student. He said, but you should know that I may have a hard time placing you because of who you are, your race. He said, I mentioned then, I said, well, you know, one of the things I think I intend to do is to, whenever I complete my work for the degree, that instead of trying to get into industry or some other place like that, I think that I want to work in someone of my own colleges or universities in order to help develop other young minds in the area of biology, especially plant biology. So I completed the work for the master's degree, was accepted as a research assistant in a PhD program at Washington State University, and got my degree there. And my major advisor at the undergraduate level, the one who started me with an interest in botany, Harry Rahm, at that time had left Tuskegee and was now on the faculty at Southern University. Well, I had maintained contact with him over the years. We had maintained contact. And he said, well, look, there's a position in botany here at Southern, and I'd urge you to apply. I did that. They accepted my application, gave me the appointment. And as soon as I got my degree in the summer of 1952, my wife and I, and we had a child at that time, a young son at that time, we went to Louisiana, and that's where I started my teaching career. And fortunately, I've had a rather successful teaching career. I have had a number of students that have really gone on and done marvelous things. Several of the students have become either department chairs at schools like University of New Hampshire or University of California, Berkeley. Or else they may have become presidents or vice presidents or chancellors at schools at various places in the country. Mm-hmm. So that's, in a sense, been a rather fulfilling experience to have had the opportunity to perhaps make a little difference in terms of the kinds of careers that students who might not have considered or might not have gone into different areas of plant sciences and have made the kind of contributions that they have made, that perhaps had I elected not to stay and to resist offers to move and go other places, that had I not done that, then the chances are that many of these students might not have been able to make the accomplishments that they have made. So that, in a sense, has been my contribution, let's say, to education, mm-hmm. and especially higher education, because so many of these students have also gone back to predominantly to the historical Black institutions and have worked there. Others have made their marks, in a sense, at majority institutions and have done extremely well. Mm-hmm. So whereas early on in my life, when I was leaving high school, I was saying, I am not going to teach. I've ended up spending some 60 years really in the teaching profession at the college or university mm-hmm. level. So that's where I am now. And I'm still involved to some extent with mm-hmm. students and trying to help them develop their skills and talents.
So that's great. So as we come sort of towards the end of this piece, this part of the story, this, the question I have for you, kind of to wrap all of this up in a couple minutes, would be, given your experience and what you know now, what would you want to say to other people who are learners and other people who would aspire to be teachers about the educational process?
Well, I suppose the thing that I would want to say would be that it's important to always encourage a student to strive to do the very best that they can. I've never told a student, no, you can't do this. You aren't qualified to do this. Now, there are students who I might be aware might have certain limitations, but if you recognize those limitations and if you try to address them, then you can help them overcome those limitations and end up being successful. It's been that way with a number of students that I've had that are in a number of instances prior to our involvement together, had they made any attempt to go other places to get degrees, they would not have been accepted. But after having a chance to work with them and then recognizing limitations for those who had limitations and then saying to them, now, here is where I think you ought to go for your advanced degree after getting either a bachelor's of science degree with me or a master's degree with me, saying, now, here's where you ought to go. Not just any school, but certain schools, because I would figure that the chances, well, early on, of course, as you very well know, there weren't a lot of universities that were what you might call minority friendly for graduate students. And as a consequence, if you were aware of those kinds of schools, then it'd be important to not suggest that your students go to those schools, but to go to other schools where there would be much more of a modicum, let's say, of minority friendliness. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage persons going into education or working with students to try to serve as a real role model and to involve them to as much an extent as you can in exposure to meetings that they might attend, encounters that they might have with leading persons in the fields, association with other graduate students at other places, so they would begin to realize that now what you are doing and the capabilities that you have are the same as the capabilities any other student has. It's just a matter of your developing, taking the effort, working hard to develop your own skills.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate it. I really appreciate the time. And folks, as we always say, that is just part of the story.
Oh.
Stay tuned.
Okay.